Hi, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you today and to follow these great presentations. My name is Brittany Seymour, and I'm an instructor for Global and Community Health at the Harvard School of Dental Medicine, and I'm also the inaugural Harvard Global Health Institute Fellow this year, where for both institute and my school, I lead competency and curriculum development for global health learning. I have no relationship to disclose. My roadmap for what I'm going to talk about today, I'm going to give a little fun history lesson, kind of the evolution of global health and global health education, where we've been, where we've come from, where we are today, and kind of how we want to move forward with global health education. Talk about undergraduates in global health education, then I'll go into some specifics about the program that I helped to develop, and then similar to the other presenters, lessons and challenges and where we're moving forward. I'm going to start, though, with a little story about one of our recent undergraduate students at Harvard. She completed an internship in Kenya working with a faculty mentor in a program for HIV/AIDS and care delivery in a community there in Kenya. And she was talking to me about an experience, a conversation that she'd had that was kind of an off-site, unofficial internship experience that just occurred with some community members living there who were both HIV positive, and they were discussing the challenge of compliance with taking the medications, the antiretroviral medications that her internship program was there to deliver for that community. And so here we have this undergraduate student, very bright student, engaging in a conversation about AIDS and life and death, and having this cross-cultural exchange with community members and discussion about how do we value life and why is there non-compliance when we have these medications that can really lead to longevity where patients can live a long time with the HIV virus, but yet there's this compliance challenge. So we have this undergrad student engaging in this kind of challenging conversation with community members where they're coming from very different experiences. Her background, you know, is very different coming from a wealthier area where, you know, HIV prevalence is not the same as this community where the community members obviously have very different life and different value systems, different culture. And so she's telling me this, and I have a lot of questions that are surfacing. Is it appropriate, is it ethical for an undergraduate student to be engaging in this type of conversation where, in her words, she was trying to convince them to take these medications and to value life the way she felt they should be. So is that an ethical experience? And then the other question is, these types of encounters, this is very real. This happens with students and experiential learning all the time, wherever they are, locally, globally, undergrad, graduate. So how can we as educators better support students, not only by providing the competencies and skills they need to be practitioners, but also maybe what's kind of been referred to as the softer skills, the ethical reasoning, the cultural rationale, that kind of ability to truly engage in global health as professionals. So that story kind of provides some reasoning and rationale to why I'm going to discuss what I'm going to talk about today and why we're looking at the programs that we're developing for undergraduates. So first, a little brief history lesson to provide some context as to kind of where global health education has come and how we hope to move forward with global health education. So in the mid-1800s, there was a cholera outbreak, and that led to the first international sanitary confirmation where physicians and some health policymakers came together over this conference to start talking about this cholera epidemic. And this conference ended up repeating for about 80 years. So then in the next 50 years, we saw the development of the Pan American Sanitation Bureau, which then went on to become the Pan American Health Organization. In about 100 years after that all started, we saw the start of the World Medical Association and the International Federation of Medical Students Associations. So we start to see the early roots of global health education starting to form through that period. In the early 1990s, the International Health Medical Education Consortium began, which formed to kind of create a collaboration between North American health institutions and global health curriculum development, start speaking a common language, see some coherence there. And that became, they renamed the Global Health Education Consortium, which in 2011 merged with the Consortium of Universities for Global Health. So we can see over the last 150 plus years, this evolution of how global health kind of started and created opportunities for education. And this highlights a couple things. Has anyone ever used Google Ngram or heard of it? It's kind of a cool feature. You can go onto Google and look up Ngram and essentially type in a time frame and a word, and it'll search its massive literature database and graph for you the usage of this term. And I wanted to show this because if you look at the red, you can see the use of the term international health. And then in the early 2000s, or about the time when I was showing you that the Consortium of Universities for Global Health merged with GHEC, we see this switch where the blue line, the use of global health, overtakes the use of international health. And so I brought this up because I want to highlight two things that this history shows us. One, that the change in terminology represents a change in philosophy, in my opinion, as to how we're viewing global health. So by changing the term from international to global, it becomes more all-encompassing. It removes that geographic differentiation between us and them, here and international, showing that we're kind of all one globe. And it also, the term global also reinforces that the flow of risks and determinants for disease and conditions crosses borders. There's no, here we have this problem and there we have that problem, and here we develop one solution and there we develop another. And showing that we're all working together, we're all sharing these risks. Tobacco is a good example of a global risk. Nutrition challenges, a global risk. And the solutions are also just as global and just as fluid. So this change in terminology represents the philosophy that we use moving forward and how we view global health and how we develop global health education for our students. So two things. We want to show that local and global are all one and the same, and that the kind of siloed way that global health has developed within the health sector, and particularly within medicine, we're trying to break that down, and that global also represents an interdisciplinary effort. So kind of showing that all sectors need to participate in health, or as the Public Health Association says, health in all policies. So now let's move on and talk a little bit about undergraduates and global health, and why, in particular, we're excited about targeting undergraduates. So in 2003, the Institute of Medicine put out a report saying that public health education at the undergraduate level is essential, not just to develop healthy communities, but also to create an educated citizenry. So truly all students moving into whatever profession need to be educated in public health. Around the same time, the Association of American Colleges and Universities developed LEAP, which stands for Liberal Education and America's Promise. And the concepts of LEAP try to develop for undergraduate education opportunities for interdisciplinary collaboration, fostering within our students a social responsibility to engage in communities and to pursue inquiry into complex problems. So clearly there's a lot of parallel between core principles of public health and LEAP. So this is why undergraduate public health education is so important and so exciting. Now, taking that step into global health education, often public health and global health are perceived as indistinguishable, or if they are distinguished, there's a lot of parallels. So global health education at the undergraduate level is something we're very passionate about. So as we started to look at developing or strengthening global health education at the undergraduate level, we did a fairly extensive background search. And this is not an exhaustive list, but we looked at global health learning within Harvard University and beyond. We looked at how is it being taught at the undergraduate and graduate levels, including the doctorate level. And we looked at public health and global health competency models that have been developed or have been used to try to get a broad perspective of what's being taught, to whom, and how is that being taught. We then started to put together a list of recurring themes and concepts that we saw coming up again and again, as well as new ideas moving forward that we might want to include that perhaps may have not been included historically in global health learning and education. And from this pretty expansive list of themes and concepts, we created three domains of learning outcomes. Now, the mission of the Global Health Institute is not to create competencies and enforce them in programs. However, we felt that by developing an experiential learning integrated program for undergraduates, we needed some way to define it and bound that. And to guide the development of this, we created some learning outcomes that would be useful moving forward. And so in looking at all those themes, we kind of created three domains of learning outcomes. And the first domain are qualities of a global citizen. And this is where we start perhaps learning more about the soft skills like ethical reasoning, self-awareness, interpersonal relationships, cross-cultural challenges, things like that. The second domain comes with a little more foundational knowledge, so the knowledge of diseases and conditions and their determinants and the global flow of those. And then the third domain, skills to improve health in a global context. So how do we address those determinants? How do we address those diseases and conditions in the global context? So now that we have kind of figured out where global health has been and what we want to do, we want to break down that siloed history. We want to engage an interdisciplinary audience of students. And we've created some target domains that we want our students to be somewhat competent in when they graduate. Now let's look at the specific program, the Integrated Experiential Learning Program that we've piloted with our undergraduates. So the integration happens at the nexus between classroom learning and global health that students are engaging in, summer opportunities, the experiential learning piece of global health, and the strongest focus of this program, I'm going to talk about what we call the pre-departure workshops. And the pre-departure workshops focus mostly on domain one, those soft skills, because in the classroom learning and summer internships, the domain two and three of these outcomes we recognized are being, you know, pretty well met, or at least where we'd like to see. So we focused more on the pre-departure workshops and those soft skills. And the first iteration of these workshops, we had several modules that we delivered over a period of several months for students that were preparing to go either to a different location or to do a summer internship in global health locally. And these modules covered topics that we've discussed before, cultural competency, communication, ethics in the global setting, and also regional specific sessions for students wherever they were going to be interning for their upcoming summer experiential learning. So our program, we had about 100 students enroll in these workshops. We piloted a few of these modules with a select group of students before we actually implemented the program. We also had conducted focus groups with students and interdisciplinary faculty groups to help inform the design of this program. So after we carried out the program, in all we had, like I said, about 100 students participate. About 30 faculty from across the university helped us to teach this program, coming from law, ethics, health and development, medicine, dentistry, public health, and psychology. So we were really trying to target that interdisciplinary group of educators and students participating. We had positive feedback. The first iteration of the program went well, but I would like to highlight some challenges, and again, we're going to see similar themes and challenges that are coming up. One is we have basic science students that are doing global health internships in the laboratory, and they had a hard time connecting their work or their specific experience to the workshops we held. Why is my laboratory work relevant to ethical reasoning, for example? So that's one challenge that we faced. Another is, as one of the previous presenters mentioned, we have a collection of students coming from varying backgrounds with varying experiences. Some have never engaged in global health, and some have done several experiences in global health already. So how do we cater to such a wide variety of interests and backgrounds and experience levels. And when we have so many faculty and so many students coming from all these different programs, when do we find time to put them all together in the same room? Just a logistical challenge that came up. But also, when we're developing a program that's co-curricular and not part of any formal curriculum, how do we get all these varying people to value this program the same way that they might value a more formal piece of the curriculum? And finally, another challenge, measuring program effectiveness. So while we measured output, the number of students and faculty that participated, their perceptions of this program, which is valuable in itself, we also want to know more about the outcome. How effective is our program in truly creating global health citizens and global professionals? So these are challenges that we're currently addressing. So I have this theory, and this is more in humor, but there's some legitimacy to this theory that I have. The theory of decreasing perceived knowledge with experience. So I feel that I've had this conversation a lot with people who have participated in global health or public health. And when we kind of start out, we feel like we know what we're doing, we're pretty good at this, and then the more we do it, the less we realize we know, right? And I think people are laughing, hopefully, because we can all relate to that. The more we get into this work, the harder we recognize that it is and how multi-dimensional and challenging global and public health are. So this X is where our students are. They are bright. They're successful. They've made it to this great institution where we're educating them. Their perceived knowledge about themselves is pretty good. But in reality, this is really where they are. So our challenge is to find out, how do we close that gap between where our students think they are and where they actually are when it comes to engaging in the field in global and community health. So to draw it back to the student's example, the one who was having this cross-cultural conversation about HIV and life and death in that community, how can we help close that gap and help her understand limitations and the appropriateness of that type of conversation? She may have felt she was well-equipped to have that kind of a conversation and to help, quote, convince people to value life the way she does. But in reality, that's a lot trickier than it really came across. So we want to close that gap and increase the value and understanding of the importance of this type of preparatory program for students. So moving forward, we've renamed the program to Young Leaders for Global Health. And this renaming is addressing that this is a cycle. We're truly building the next generation of global health leaders and those who are educating them. We've added some new components, including a reflection component that helps students continue to integrate what they're learning in the classroom, what they've been taught in the modules, within how have they grown through their summer experience, and then they come back and reflect on all that and say, oh, that went well, that didn't, why not? So the reflection piece has been very important. We've added a health and human rights piece. And we've also added a peer support role for students who've already gone through a series of workshops, so they can continue, and to emphasize that this is a lifelong learning process. So even though they may have gone through one iteration, there's still a role for them. They might take on more of a leadership role as a peer advisor or peer mentor, but they're still going to be learning from each other and from the faculty. So our goal moving forward is to continue to refine everything that we've talked about. We've now completed our second iteration. The student enrollment doubled, which is very exciting. And our goal is to truly create global health professionals where their learning starts in the classroom, continues with experiential learning, and culminates in interdisciplinary global health practice wherever their careers may lead them.